Hello everyone, how are you all doing? Come on in, sit on down, it's time for another live Q&A. It's Wednesday evening for me, probably, late afternoon for you guys, perhaps early evening over there in America. I've been busy. I'm doing this show later than I usually would because I have just done back-to-back interviews for the new channel, Understanding Creativity. And I just had Christopher from BioCharisma on to talk about dome building and his journey to inspiration and how he got to the point where he is in life right now, where he is an artist who creates domes and what it means to be a creative person in that industry today. And that was a fascinating conversation. We went down many deep avenues. And I also had Tim Latty on as well, who is a animator for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as well as G.I. Joe, works for Mattel. He's very much in the industry. He writes comic books. He's writing comic books, his own comic book right now as well, and he's published one, in which he went into some of the Tartaria stuff in the end as well. Very much a listener of the channel, a conspiracy theorist too. So that was a fun conversation. And I'm here now. I just took a quick break, half an hour, just to get myself together, and I've got myself a bit of water here as well. And I thought I'd hop on maybe for an hour with you guys, because it's late for me. It's almost 11:30 in the evening, but I just couldn't miss the live Q&A session. I've just got to get that in there, and I've got to share a few things that have come across my desk as usual, share a bit of music, and have a bit of a conversation with you guys too. So get your questions in, anything you want to ask, let me know at all. Who've got in the chat first? We've got Michael, we've got M. Crumpy, we've got Amelia, we've got Dean, we've got Old World Underworld, we've got Michael from the Netherlands, we've got Mary Beth D'Angelo in the house, and we've got Chiro Sounds as well. That's the lady who you saw yesterday. They have their channel, Midwest Night Watchers, and I talked with them about the clowns, and I uploaded that to my channel yesterday and showed that to you guys. But that was a good conversation, wasn't it? I like that presentation we did, because I don't usually get to show the full images I've got to talk about this topic. But in that show, we do a full presentation on the Nephilim clowns, the pictures and all. So check that out if you haven't already. Go over to their channel to check that out, or you can check out on mine as well. And make sure to subscribe to those guys, because they were very accommodating and lovely to talk to as well. Apparently, Michael Carson has experienced a glitch in the Matrix today. It's always neat when they notice them. What did you see? Two cats in a row? Let me know how that glitch went. Blurry Creatures just came out with an episode talking about how important art and beauty are. Seems like the idea is gaining traction. Yeah, well, it seems that way. Who did it first, you reckon? Me or the Blurry Creatures? Who knows? But I think everyone's just sick of the crap art, aren't they? I think everyone's getting absolutely sick to death of the degradation of beauty standards. And I think it's got to that point now where everyone's like, can we just have the real stuff back? Can we not have some talent back, please? Can we not just have some beauty back in our lives? Can we stop with the AI garbage? Can we see what real people can do instead? Everyone's just getting sick of it, that's for sure. So I'm not surprised the trend's going. And I think I've got quite a lot of guests and ideas lined up, a lot of presentations coming slowly for that channel. Like I said, I'm currently working on one right now, which I'm going to tease for you guys. I'm going to show you a quick video of the intro I've kind of been hashing together of some of the quotes from the main body of presentation. And Susan Faraday, the artist who and art lecturer and very much industry expert, has come on and she shared with me a presentation on Gustav Klimt and some of his artwork and his connections to the occult and connections to the rich and influential in Vienna in around the early 20th century, 1900s to 1907 to 1915, and just kind of going through his work and some of the things, you know, that don't quite add up, that are really dodgy about this guy, you know. And it was a great presentation. The whole thing is available in raw format, so unedited and kind of choppy, and it's not perfect audio-wise on Patreon, but I am now editing it. The audio quality has been edited to be studio quality, and I'm adding images to the slideshow that weren't on the original slideshow to back up things we're saying, and I created this little intro I'll play for you guys now as a tease for the first upload that's coming to Understanding Creativity after my little introduction. I hope you can all subscribe. The links are down below. Go subscribe to Understanding Creativity if you haven't already. Lots of extra content going on there over the next year as a side to my Understanding Conspiracy channel, which you all already know, you know, and this isn't going away. This is still going to be my main body of work, but I will be posting extras onto there too. But here is, guys, a little thing. Now, I'm sorry, I might have to just quickly end up playing a... Yeah, let's just stop that for a second. There we go. So this is something I've just worked on. A bit of a teaser of things to come.
I think one of the big myths of art is that it's about imagination. Forget imagination, it's about observation. I think he was looking, seeing, experiencing, and in a way, recording. This idea that, oh, he just imagined these things is just such a nonsense. To the elite, to the dark cult, these are trophies. And our ignorance in admiring them is just absolutely, they're mocking us.
Dramatic, I know. What do you guys think of that? Let me know. Make sure to subscribe to the channel because that video will hopefully be dropping on Saturday. I've almost finished the editing process and I'll be uploading it hopefully sometime this week, and that hopefully be premiering on Understanding Creativity on Saturday. I don't usually post on this channel on Saturday, so I think Saturdays maybe the days I post on Understanding Creativity. But there's a little teaser for you guys. We get into some heavy stuff, we do, and it's a fun conversation, and I'm definitely looking forward to having her on as a repeat guest. She has many more presentations to share about many more artists throughout the modern era, which will make for a fascinating conversation and slideshows, I'm sure. So there you go, guys. A bit of a teaser, but some shameless plugging of my own content, which is, you know, why not? It's my channel. I'll plug my content if I want to. But I'm happy with... I'm feeling good about that channel so far. I am. I think it's going to be a fun little side project. Maybe a respite from the more heavy conspiracy stuff, kind of getting more into just the corruption of the art world specifically. I think it's maybe like a more of a niche, honed down avenue that can be explored thoroughly. And I'm getting good reception from people who want to come on and discuss, from artists and people in the industry who want to share their experiences. So I think it should be really good. And it's going to be a mixed bag of me giving scathing reviews of terrible art in today's world. Serious presentations from professionals about specific art history. and visiting artists and people of everyday walks of life, sharing their stories of being in the art world, and also just a showcase of talented artists as well. I think it's going to be a bit of a mix of everything. A bit slower going than this channel, though. I won't be uploading there every day. It'll be like maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks, stuff like that. And a bit more of a better production quality as well, I'm aiming for. That might not always be the case. I'm trying. I see a few videos asking people their views on Damien Hirst's decapitated demon walking out to see sculpture. One was actually quite interesting. Some people refused to budge from their programming. Was it Damien Hirst who created that demon in London? The sculpture of a demon? It doesn't surprise me. The man has encrusted a skull in diamonds before. He's sliced sharks and cows in half and put them in... what's it called? Is it thalidomide? I can't remember what it's called. Like a resin-like substance, shall we say. Damien Hirst is very much just one of the typical young British artists slapping a load of crap together and calling it art, basically. So it won't surprise me that he's basically just flat-out worshipping demons. It doesn't surprise me at all. He's a part of the problem, and has been for a long time. In regards to degradation of beauty, I saw a post at X that showed the lack of diversity in car paint in a modern parking lot as compared to the 70s. Crazy. Yeah, I actually discussed the issue with cars because I think I saw a similar video talking about why are cars all the same now? And like in the past, you know, cars used to have so many different shapes and sizes and forms, and cars themselves were like a point of beauty for people, and they had like many odd curves and flaps and forms, and like just every piece of every car used to be a piece of artwork to many people, and there used to be like beautiful expensive cars as well, and luxury cars, and like a lot of time and effort went into them, you know what I mean, to make them unique. But now cars are all starting to look the same, and they have the same drab gray robotic look to them, and they're kind of losing their personality. And the guy's argument was basically that this is to kill a passion, basically, for cars. And right now, you know, maybe a couple of generations down the line, after this has been going on for long enough, people won't see cars as artwork or something to care about, but just utilitarian tools, methods to get from point A to B, nothing special, nothing important. And when people don't care about something, you can make changes to it, no one's going to bother. So what's coming is self-driving cars, you know, driverless cars. And to get to that point where they take away our freedom of driving our own vehicles and having an AI robot algorithm drive it for us instead, therefore controlling every aspect of our life and where we can and cannot go, then they need to make people not care about cars first. And you do that first by removing the beauty. And it creates apathy and a lack of care for something. And they've done that in every aspect of our life, haven't they? I mean, look at what they've done to McDonald's. Bright, red and yellow, colourful, boisterous, playground with a ball pit, wacky, just a wacky fun palace for kids, you know, originally when I was growing up in the 90s. And now it looks like somewhere you go and get your passport renewed. Or your driver's license sorted out. You know, it looks terrible. It looks like a bureaucratic nightmare of a mess, and you just don't want to go in that place because it's going to suck your soul dry. But they're doing that with everything, aren't they? They're destroying beauty, especially in the Western world, especially here. And it's by design. It's certainly by design. It feels like it's by design, that's for sure. People been telling me you block that object. I don't know what you're talking about. I know many clowns, Hollywood and the Evening News. Okay. Hi, Paul. Hi, chat. Donald J. Trump is putting up a golden dome. Is this for the Camp of Saints? I saw that. Maybe we'll get into that today as well when I'm going to talk about sunflowers. Can you interview real clowns? I know one, says Calyx. I guess so. But what am I supposed to say to them? Because real clowns, people who dress like clowns as like a job, do not know what I do, what I'm talking about. We'll probably struggle to gain any concept of it. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Just listen to some guy dressed like a clown argue with me why I'm such a bigot for thinking clowns are demonic? I don't know how that would go exactly. I mean, what benefit is there to interviewing a clown? What's the clown supposed to tell me exactly? Fill me in if you want. You know, I'm not going to completely snub the idea. His artwork looks like the official artwork for the Final Fantasy video game. I have no idea what that's about. Creativity, make known the riches of his glory. That's true. I think God was the first creator, is a creator, and we are made in his image. That makes us all creators in our own right, artists in our own right. MK Ryan, the first episode was fantastic, going to be a good time. Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it, yeah. Like I said, if you're a Patreon member, the Raw thing is already on there. I think people are going to like the edited version a lot more because, like I said, I've added a lot more images for context for some of the more nuanced things we discuss, which you may not be privy to. My wife is saying she's more interested in the lack of different phones. That's true. Like I said, we're talking about the lack of, like, the change of cars and all that, and the buildings and the rest of it. I mean, phones used to be so diverse too. Phones used to be crazy. Like, phones had the... I don't know. Maybe I should just show you an image of what some phones used to look like. Old phones. Let's type in old phones. Let's go to images. Let's just see what comes up as I scroll through. But yeah, this is gonna some nostalgia for you guys. Do you remember these things? Look at these. Let me just quickly bring up the page. I mean, look how diverse these shapes are. Look at that keypad. That's insane. Look at this. Who thought this middle one was a good idea? Somebody did. People bought them. Look at the wacky, wild designs we've gone through. And now everyone just has a black square, you know? And I think things were more fun, weren't they, when it came to, like, anything at all. Around the 90s, 2000 period. Like, the variations we had in technology shapes and sizes and stuff. Like, I remember we used to be able to change your own phone cases quite easily. You know, you just clip them apart and, you know, you could just put whatever. Remember this bad boy? Everyone had this. And this thing was great, wasn't it? And if I had one now, I think I still think it would be a good time. I still think I would thoroughly enjoy owning one of these and using it on a daily basis. Look at the style differences between so many different phones. Do you remember? Look at these. I bet we all had one of these, didn't we? I know I did. I went through them with my wife, and yeah, we had a... Oh, this guy's actually showing a video. His Nokia collection. No, I don't have time for that. I just wanted to make the thumbnail bigger, but it all went messed up. But look, just looking at these. Let me look at the Sony Ericsson phone, for example. Remember these guys, Sony Ericsson phones? Remember these bad boys? These flip phones? Look at this thing. They wouldn't even dream of doing something like this now, would they? Everyone remembers this classic? Or this orange one? There was variety at one point. And this, it was the same with cars, you know? And they're just taking it away from us. They're taking choice away from us, in a way. They're making it... this is the phone. And everyone will have the phone. And, you know, like, phone screen off. They all look the same. You wouldn't know what model you had with the screen off. They're all identical. There's no real differences. It's superficial at best. Like, you just have phone now. You know, you have generic black rectangle. There's nothing else, like, to it. Like, It's sad when you actually think about it, isn't it? It's sad what they've done and how they've been doing this to us slowly. Now, I know technology isn't great. It's a control mechanism anyway. We shouldn't be caring about such things. It's trivial. It's silly. But it's just an example of the slow homogenization into a grey and black block that all things of life have become, you know? Everything's just a cube within a cube now. There's no beauty, there's no curves, there's no form, there's no inspiration, there's no talents. It's just been bled dry. And I think there's going to be a renaissance of creativity soon. I think people are getting so sick of it that we're pushing back now, and I think we're going to create our own avenues, our own ways of bringing beauty back and making it matter and making it count. Because like I said, all things and all glory to God at the end of the day. He is a creator and we are made in his image, and you cannot kill our spirits. You cannot kill our inspiration. You cannot destroy humanity's soul and passion for beauty. You cannot. And I think the enemy hates that about us. No matter how much they try and how much they destroy our beauty in the world, we laugh and we make memes. Like, we don't care. We'll make our own avenues, or make our own platforms, or make our artwork beautiful either way, even if nobody sees, and we'll share it privately. We'll do our own thing. We don't need the crappy avenues, and we know it, and they know it. We don't need the galleries with the white walls. Why do that when you've got, you know, YouTube or Instagram or something else, another way, another platform, our own places? So I don't know. I'm still an optimist at heart, but yeah, I can see how it's quite negative as well. My wife says she misses the old slide up ones. She might go back to it. I wouldn't blame her, honestly. Like, I won't blame anybody for just, let's go back to basics, guys. I used to love my slide out keyboard phone in 2010, says Pearl. Didn't we all? We all had it. I must have gone through like 15 different phones, like one every like 6 months, because they were just so crazy and fun, and you just and they broke so quickly as well, because they were just like clunky and dirt got into every single plastic crease and fold and slide thing. And it's like, ah, it's time to upgrade, you know. And the price is ridiculous, but we paid them anyway for those crappy pieces of plastic, because they were just entertaining, you know. My house phone has red lips, says Marissa. That's good to know. Hope everyone's having a great day, week, month. I never end up catching these lives. What a treat, says Ernie from The Speed of Shadow. Thanks for being here, man. It's been a while. Look, I've still got your totem pole, Haidegwai Guahannes leaflet here. Thanks for sending that. This is a personal favourite of mine. It's a gift from Speed of Shadow, though, who lives on the Pacific Northwest coast and obviously sees these things on a regular basis. Great for my own research. Thank you again. Thanks for being here as well. What else have we got? It's a cell phone. It's a prison. That's right. These are prisons, and they're also scrying mirrors. They're black mirrors. They actually summon demons, I imagine, is what witchcraft is for. Noted. Paul is pro-choice. I like to have variety in life. I do. You know, I'm just that type of guy. A little black rock in your pocket, says P. Parker. Absolutely, that's true. Guess I'm the only one who remembers Pippi Longstockings now through Clown. I think she's channeling some demon now, says Stacey. Okay, that's oddly specific. And maybe you do. I didn't watch Pippi Longstockings myself, so I wouldn't know. What's going on here? I had a bright orange LG ENV. That thing was dope. I need to see that now. What's an LG ENV when it's at home? Let me look. Orange LG ENV, did you say? LG. My typing is terrible. Look at this thing. Wow. This is pretty sick. This thing has so much like going for it. You think it's just a blocky phone, but no, it opens up into another phone, okay? And its front screen is like a, I don't know what to even use that for. Like, what's the front screen even for? Like, is it like just like skip music and stuff? Is that what it is? It's just like a little screensaver, but you open it up and that's where the real magic happens, you know. It's got a keyboard, it's got a screen, it's got everything, man. Are those like dials at the side for the volume as well? Is that what that is? Yeah, LG knew what they were doing back then. that looks pretty cool. Look how small it is as well. Yeah, that's pretty sick. Oh, times have changed. Times have changed. Now, I don't know if I ever owned this one, but I feel like I have. I've forgotten how many phones I had, whether or not I've owned them or not. I think we did, didn't we? We kind of just rapidly went through them when they were around. Kids these days, you know, they just don't know. Kids these days, what do they know? They didn't have flip phones like we do. Not like we do. You know, now they have screens that bend. Like, what's that about? What's going on here? I understand. Much love, brother, says Val. Thanks for being here, Val. Space Mike's in the house. As if he shows his new shiny phone. Yeah, this I got a new one. I got an S25 now. I was on an S10 for a long time. it just stopped working. It was time to upgrade. Pearl, you def missed out. Apparently Pearl's cousin got one of those phones. It was the first keyboard phone. It was, and everyone was envious. Everyone was green with envy. Well, your cousin was orange with joy. Before you start talking about sunflares, are you familiar with Ben Davidson? Says Rebecca. No, I'm not. Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe. How long has he had the smiley tattoo? That's crazy how I just noticed. I've had this since I was 17. I'm 33 in a month. 2 months. I've had it a long time. Yeah. When you're 17 years old, you often impulsively get things, you know, like tattoos. And I did. I got a few. I got a rose on my chest here and another one on this side. Kind of see that. They're not the best tattoos. Pretty crap, to be honest. But they mean something to me, you know, when I got them. And I designed this one on Microsoft Paint, personally. I didn't like the smiley faces. It had other silly lines on the end of the mouth, you know, that make it like they have cheeks. I don't know. To be honest, I forget it's there. Obviously, when I got them, I was a different person. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't born again. I had a completely different view on life and quite a hedonistic, young, free spirit that I was, smoking weed every day, you know, and exploring my life and myself and kind of being rebellious at that age as you are, being in a band, you know, musical. It's not really surprising. But I don't know. I forget it's there. I like it still. It makes me smile. And it reminds me not to take things too seriously every now and then as well. It reminds me to remain optimistic, which was my philosophy when I got it, you know, stay positive, it's all we can really do. Life's miserable enough as it is, you know. But that's the story behind my arm tattoo. We're talking about art today, I suppose. I might as well bring it up. But I honestly do just forget it's there. I don't think I'll be getting any more tattoos myself, to be honest. Not unlike Richard the Barber, am I right? If anyone knows what's been going on there. No way I could ever use that with my sausage fingers. The keyboards were tiny, like a BlackBerry. You remember those things as well. Glad you don't have ink of a clown fighting a dragon, Paul. No, I don't. I don't. Right. They aren't the worst tattoos, though, Paul. I don't know. I've got a spider on my stomach, but I'm not about to whack out the dad bod to show you that anytime soon. Trust me. I think it's worth looking into the lesser G phones with no internet that are available for people who need to have one. We don't all need these smartphones that hook up to the web. Interesting. Well, yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't mind maybe having a downgraded phone for when I'm out and people need to contact me, maybe leaving this thing at home a bit more, you know. And absolutely, I think it could be good for the soul. I remember queuing outside a phone box, says Linda, bloody hell. Going back a bit there, Linda, aren't we? Back when cell phones only cost like $40, I missed that even more, yeah. Birder phones, so that was the day. Transparent landline phones that lit up with flashing colours was so cool, says Jenny. I remember stuff like that, absolutely. Have you done ayahuasca before, says most unknown. Not ayahuasca, but I've done dimethyltryptamine, which is the basic compound of ayahuasca, without the MEO inhibitor, obviously. Which is what the ayahuasca brew is, isn't it? It's the B. capensis vine mixed with anything that has DMT in it, basically. And the B. capensis is the thing that inhibits its breakdown, so you can actually trip for hours and hours and hours in ayahuasca. Obviously, I've just inhaled pure crystal DMT through a pipe, which gives you a 10-minute trip as it's broken down, but more intense, quicker and more intense. So I've done ayahuasca, but I haven't done ayahuasca at the same time. I've not had that long, drawn-out, hours, day-long experience where I'm vomiting and voiding my bowels everywhere while somebody goes, I'm here for you, bro. I'm your spirit guide. Don't worry about it. You know, I didn't have that. You know, and maybe I'm thankful I haven't had that, to be honest. I did have a quick 10-minute blast into the ethereal realm a few times and back. I wouldn't do it again, personally. I wouldn't recommend it. it certainly showed me a few things and made me realize a few things and taught me a few things about the nature of reality, I suppose, most people wouldn't be privy to because they haven't done it, which I guess I'm thankful that I got the opportunity to see those things and learn from it. But it's at the end of the day, it can't save you. And learning more about how the creation works and what it looks like behind the veil isn't going to save you either. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And DMT and ayahuasca will not help you with that. Maybe it will. God can work all things for good, you know. So maybe God will use that experience as a means to get you to Him eventually. But that's kind of all I have to say about ayahuasca. And I know a lot about this. I've wrote about ayahuasca in the book, The Nephilim Look Like Clowns. There's a whole chapter on it about where it's sourced and how the culture behind it and where people use it and how it was discovered and what the people who created it say about it and where they discovered it from. And, you know, I've got all the history there. I've listened to a lot of work of Terence McKenna and his brother as well. I know about it quite thoroughly. But fundamentally, at the end of the day, it's kind of, yeah, you know, it's not going to save you at the end. It's not going to save you. And that's all that counts. I think a lot of people are banking on it kind of being like a solution to all their problems, and it's not. It's really not. He has 4 tattoos. It's the best one. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, I don't know. It was like a guy who worked from home who had like a dentist chair in his house, and I think he lived next to a prison, actually. And I was underage. I was 17 and he didn't care. He just wanted the money, you know what I mean? And it was cheap as well. So they're not the highest quality tattoos, but I didn't want high quality. My designs were very simple. I thought, well, he could do this. It's simple enough. How can you mess up a smiley face? You know what I mean? So that was that. You know, I did pick it though. So there's a few patches that need redoing because I picked the scabs off. But that's on me. That's on me. Yeah, I wouldn't get any more. No, I'm just not interested in it anymore. Do you subscribe to the thought theory that the church needs to advance prior to the return of Christ, regardless of little season or not? Do you think the church plays a role in his timing? Define church. Do you mean a building or like a 501c3 or like a... Do you mean the body of Christ collectively? All believers in Christ under any denomination? Do you mean a specific denomination that goes to a building? I think God will call his people to him in the right time when the time is right, and he'll give us what we need to know when we need to know it, as he always has done, and stayed faithful and honest to it, to those who are his, you know? I think it's only up to us to just make disciples of men and fellowship as much as we can and stay steadfast in the truth and obviously always be ready. The flood is always coming. The end is always around the corner. Your end might be sooner than the end, you know. So I think it's not worth worrying about so much as living your life as much as you can while you have it and doing as much as you can to further the kingdom of God for when it finally arrives. I think that's all we can ever do, personally. Apparently Pearl's husband has a full Pacific Northwest themed sleeve and a large chest tattoo that says Child of God. She likes it though. She's got a few herself. Dumber phones might be smart, so that's true. I like that. The phones got smart and the people became dumb. Dang, you're hardcore, Paul. Am I hardcore? I don't know if I'm hardcore. I went pretty hard in my early 20s, late teens. I definitely did, yeah. You wouldn't recognize that, Paul. You would not. No one would. And I'd barely recognize the guy. I was a different person, literally a different person. I can't even like describe being born again as quite literally transformed me in a way I don't even believe. Like I struggle to understand it. Like one day you're one person with very specific wants and desires and dreams and hopes and aspirations and lusts and angers and pains and everything. And then the next day you're born again and all that just washes away and you kind of are who you really are. And with none of that baggage, it's a really extreme radical spiritual experience that I can't really explain. And I pray everybody gets to experience it and gets to the kingdom, you know. Because the thing is, like, I suppose it's like stepping into the kingdom here on earth. And when you become a subject of the kingdom in heaven, as it is on earth, you're not a subject of the world anymore. So you do change. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I wouldn't have married that guy, says my wife. Yeah, honestly, maybe I'll collect some photos from the past to share one day of who I was and what I was doing and the cringe nonsense I was getting up to. You know what I mean? It's like a kind of like a scene kid. But I wasn't a scene kid, like, but I looked like one for a little bit. It was just the style then. You know? I had like peroxide blonde hair with like a black streak in the fringe and all sorts of nonsense. I was so thin. I was like, I think I look at pictures of myself then and I'm like stick thin, but like I thought I was fat, you know what I mean? If only I could just, I don't know, go back in time and say, chill out, mate. You look at me now, two kids down the line, like you enjoy this while you can. I can barely make it up the stairs without my knees hurting now. This guy, I don't know. The insecurities you have as a child and as a teenager are just so ridiculous when you actually look back at yourself and realize I was beautiful. What was I thinking? Why did I hate myself so much? Why was I so like, why did I think so little of myself and my looks and all these type of things? It's like I was at peak. I was perfect. Nothing was wrong, you know, except from the terrible fashion sense. But I think we all go through that, don't we? Paul, can you tell us more about the people in the insane asylums in the 1800s who talked about a golden age in the past? Well, that was actually from an article of an in-house asylum newspaper written by the people in the asylum. And you wouldn't think they were insane from this newspaper, to be honest, when you actually read it. And there's also another one as well. It's like an outsider article of the time, of the 1800s. And they're talking about people in the insane asylums and how... it's like meta-commentary on what it means to be insane and what do we do. Are we doing the right things with these people? And it does explain how, you know, the clinically insane will tell you that they were once saints in a golden age or something like that, or kings and rulers of a golden age. And it's kind of like in passing... But it's kind of, if that's what they were actually saying, then maybe they were actually saying, like, I used to live a long life in a time where everything was perfect, you know, and the world's falling apart and it's crazy now. And the people who run the asylum are like, sure it was, Mr. Johnson, sure it was. Here, take your meds. But maybe it was like that. These people have been alive for so long that the staff had changed so much that they just didn't believe their stories anymore. Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't know, but... Alpha Talks, Vitaly of Alpha Talks shared that article with me, and I probably could dig it up from an archive somewhere. I think I might actually have it. Now, let me just do a very quick cursory search here, just into a couple of folders I have on my desktop. I might have it in useful documents, handy videos. It might be here. It's not looking like it is. Oh, wait. What's this? Okay, I might have it. I might have it, guys. I might have it. Let me just share the screen with you. It's a video, a screen capture I did of the article. And I'll just, let me just press play on this. And let's just see what comes up. Am I struggling to find it? Okay, if I could pause that. It says here, lunatics had their golden age before laws were made, when they wandered forth at large and were revered as saints or as partaking of somebody, something holy or divine. But with laws and civilization, the Iron Age began. It has continued almost to the present time. During the last half century, however, the treatment of the insane of civilized countries of Europe has been greatly ameliorated. So I think it's talking about the idea that in the past, the insane got to wander around free and there was no issues, you know, but now we put our insane in asylums and keep them away from society. So maybe metaphorically speaking, lunatics had their golden age before the laws were made. You know what I mean? When they wandered forth at large. So it's different. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily that they were talking about them living in a literal golden age, but it could mean that from the research we did, like in the past, we would have just interpreted this as, oh, you know, wandering around, no one was doing anything about them back then, but now things are different. But in light of the little season theory, maybe this guy was literally saying lunatics literally walked around in a golden age and were revered as saints. Like, but now we take a metaphorical view because it doesn't square with the history we've been told. Maybe that's what's going on there. I don't know. But that's the article. I hope that answers your question. I knew I had something there. Brit C for that question. Thanks for that question. Lunatics meaning from the moon. Well, that's true. Yeah. It's heavily linked with the cycles of the moon, isn't it? And when parasites reproduce, funnily enough. It's all connected. What's going on with solar flares? Well, let's look into that, shall we, while I'm here. I might as well do something about the actual title of this bloody video. So solar flares are popping off, apparently. So if I just type in solar flare news. It's not hard to find an article about this. It really isn't. Let me share the screen. We'll zoom in a bit, get rid of these the trivial stuff there. So as you can see, top stories, NASA experts on whether sun will ever burn out, amid solar flare eruption warning. Space weather impacts us 3 hours ago. NASA warns major solar storm set to cause blackouts on Earth 1 day ago. Basically all these articles are saying to us, blackouts are on the way because of solar flares. Disruption is feared, you know. High impact solar flare heading towards Earth. Sun erupts huge filament this morning. So that's the hot topic right now. Solar flares. Solar flares are going to pop off everything and all of our lights are about to go out. Let's see what the mirror has to say, because I don't think they reject to pay. I'm not paying anything. I've got a what? Okay, I'll just accept. Nothing. Let's get rid of this thing. So a solar storm could pound the Earth for 10 hours. A warning has been issued about an X-class solar flare that erupted from the sun, resulting in potential radio blackouts. The flare is considered one of the most powerful in recent months and peaked on May 14th. It's already been caused global communication disruptions, confirming the event's impact. Europe, Asia, and the Middle East bore the brunt of the R3 level radio blackout after the intense X2.7 class flare bombarded Earth's daylight side with a surge of X-rays and extreme ultraviolet radiation. While the Earth managed to avoid any direct hits from the coronal mass ejections associated with this flare, scientists are keeping a close watch on developments as experts monitor the X-class solar flare. We've broken down everything you need to know about what it really means. Solar flares are massive eruptions of radiation from the sun that send charged particles outward from the star. They're very common, and not all of them travel towards the Earth, but they do, and they have the power to be disruptive. Look, if you're not aware of this thing, I used to watch a guy on YouTube a long time ago, okay, and while I'm looking for him, I'll bring this up, and he's called Suspicious Observers. And you may have heard of him. If you've been in the conspiracy game for a while, you've probably seen Suspicious Observers channel, okay? And Suspicious Observers, let me just get his channel up here so you can see what it looks like. He was a faceless entity when I used to listen to him years ago. But now I believe he's full face out and he's making a right career out of it. Like, full on with merch and everything, I think. So, Suspicious Observers. So like I said, I followed this guy for years. I think I unsubscribed from him because I just got sick of the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. because that's what this guy does. Now, look, I don't know anything about him personally. I'm not trying to disparage the guy as a personal person. I don't know him. But I did notice a pattern with his work that he would basically every single day without fail post a video that says the exact same thing, showing the exact same thing. Solar flare, coronal mass injections, solar flares, strange magnetic space weather, throwing the odd conspiracy thing every now and then, but he would just give a daily breakdown of space weather and how the sun has released a coronal mass injection, a sun flare, and how it would hit us every time, every day. And he would show the basic maps that you can go see for yourself that follow these things. If I just click on one of his random videos, I'm sure the links to all the things he uses are right there. But he shows the sun, it's spinning in all its glory. He shows the sunspots, he shows the effects, he shows the earthquakes that happen all over the earth. And then it's a quick video done every single day. And he gets hundreds of thousands of views. He's got almost a million subscribers now. But what he's using, let me have a look here. Is he not linking it anymore? Yes, I think it's this, the Solar Dynamics Observation, the sun now, and you can watch it in many different formats. And this is what it looks like currently. And where you see these bright spots are where, I think this is where flares happen and coronal mass ejections happen. Now, there's also where you get these black spots. This also pumps out heat that can cause problems. It's like a hole in the sun, essentially. That's just, it's so hot. Like, and I don't know. These cause issues too, I remember. It's been a while since I've done this. But what I'm trying to say is, like 10 years ago, I was watching the sun do this stuff. And big deals were constantly being made about it all the time by this guy. And drumming up a lot of fear every time, okay? And nothing's ever come of it. Ever. Right? And they show you these, I'll show you in a minute. Let's see if I can find a link to it. So I think this is satellite images where it shows clouds, and also this is where the aurora borealis come in as well. And where is it? Satellite information. But there's one where it shows how the flare travels and how it hits the Earth. Here's the earthquake map he uses quite often, and it shows you where all the earthquakes are happening and to what strength they are. And as you can see, earthquakes are actually happening all the time from this map. Like, they're always popping off. They're never not popping off, okay? It's always happening. Every single day, non-stop. And these flares, apparently, are always firing off every single day, non-stop, always. Like, it never stops happening, okay? And when I see the news doing this, it just reminds me of when I used to watch this guy. And it was just the same thing all the time. Like I said, every single day. And nothing would ever come of any of them. Nothing at all. Okay? Like, it really would just not matter. You would get a few auroras, and that's it. That's all that would happen every time he would do this. But it would make out like something terrible is about to happen every time. The way he would talk, like, let me just skip through one of these again and show you. So, and this is the map he shows you. And this is the flare, okay, coming out, right? And then it shows it popping out there, coming towards Earth. And there it goes. It just breezes past Earth. And that's where we see the auroras happen. And that's what's going to happen again. Okay? And we'll feel nothing. It will make no difference. The only place it makes a difference and where it affects us is our minds. Okay? And I think these fear-mongering articles are here to justify whatever crap they're about to pull next. Okay? Mass blackouts and all that stuff. It's probably them just flipping the switches off. I'm going to be real with you. It's probably not because of the sun flare. And I say that because I've been watching it for years and it's never anything. But now that the media is pointing it out, I bet this isn't even a big sun flare. I bet it really isn't, okay? I mean, it's just like every other one that I've seen happen all the time. X-Class Sunflare. I've heard that 1,000 times watching this guy over the years. They happen, and it's not a big deal. All right? It isn't. And look, I don't even believe in vast infinite space or sun millions of miles away or none of that nonsense. I think it's local. I think it's close to us. I don't think it's really doing that. I think when it does have a flare, it's small and it makes minimal impact on the Earth, perhaps maybe closer to those closest to it. And I think a lot of these charts we just showed you there about it moving through space and hitting us slowly, it's just bollocks. And I think a lot of images you're seeing of this rotating sun going around through all the cameras, thanks to all these official places that are filming it 24/7 for us, is CGI nonsense. I think it's making it up. I think it's just a computer-generated image. And I don't think it's happening at all. And I think they use these things now, when the media's talking about it, to justify something they're about to do next. That's honestly what I think about it. I don't trust a single one of these organizations, and I don't trust any news organization when they start doing this type of stuff. It's fear propaganda at its finest. And suspicious observers, he probably genuinely believes all these instruments are telling him the truth and he's following it himself, you know. But all he ever causes to do is stir up fear with every video and making people's lives a lot worse in the end because of it. And nothing ever comes of any of these things he talked about. Nothing. And, you know, he reports on earthquakes, sure, and terrible things have happened to people who have earthquakes, sure, you know. But there's many reasons to think how that's happening and why that's happening. And there are sad events, sure. But he's like saying everything's because of the sun. I'm not so sold on that. I'm really not. So don't be surprised if the lights go out. Maybe we will see auroras or something. Maybe. But I don't think these sun flares are going to be what's really causing the blackouts. I really don't. If it does happen, I think it's something else. So there's my two cents on sun flares, and a bit of a reminder that it's been happening for years. It's always been happening. The sun has always been sending out flares, so they say, you know, going off the official narrative. It's not a big deal. But one thing I will say is I think something weird is going on with the sun. That's for sure. And this is just a personal anecdote, and I want you to know if you've also been feeling this. But, you know, I'm pale. I'm a pale guy, you know. I have gold hair, a ginger beard, you know, I'm white as it comes. You don't get much whiter than me, you know. Like this is it, you know. You can get albino, but I'm a close shade. More pink than yellow tones, you know. I burn very easily in the sun. And I've just noticed something odd. I've been out in the sun quite a lot recently, and I haven't got sunburnt more than I would have in the past. Like, I haven't worn any sun cream or anything. I've not been trying to protect myself from the UVs, even though that's highly questionable enough as it is anyway, you know, if that stuff is even safe for you to begin with. But I've been in the sun a lot, and I don't feel like I've sunburned. I got a bit of something when I do that. Nothing major. And I'm kind of shocked, because we've had like a lot of peaks and highs here, and I thought I would have had more of a burn, and I don't. But get this, this is the kicker. When I'm out in the sun, it hurts. My skin hurts. Like, it's like an all-over sting. It stings when I'm out in the sun. I can feel it burning me, but I'm not getting burnt. I can't explain it. Something's wrong. That's odd. I've never felt this before. And it's like, I've really been noticing it. Like, going out in the sun is really painful. Like, it's like a searing burn from the light, you know? It's not the heat. It's the light burning me. Like, I can't explain it. And it's brighter than usual as well. I get migraines. I've been getting so many migraines lately because of just the sun in general. Something's wrong. Like, something is not normal. And I think this whole sun flare story is just a convenient way to explain this happening, this phenomena. Oh, higher UV levels than usual, you know, because of the sun flare. Didn't you hear about the sun flare? And it's, I don't know. I don't know, guys. It's pretty sus. It's probably demons, bro. Sorry. I'm doing an impression there. I should stop, but look, I don't. It's weird. Just a personal anecdote. Nothing to back up any of that. Wild, crazy, conspiracy theorist, schizo speculation. It's what I do. It's what I do here. It's what we all do. So does anyone else feel that? Am I going crazy? I was wearing insulated rubber boots, so I wasn't grounded and I got burned good. There we go. The stuff coming out of the jets is affecting the sun rays. I think it could have something to do with that too. They definitely ramped that up a lot recently over the past week and then cooled it. It's not happened again for a few days, but there's just a few days randomly, about 4 or 5 days ago, where they just went heavy and then they stopped. It's weird. Weird behavior. Something happened. And then my skin started to burn. Like, you're right. I get loads of freckles on my arms from the sin. Yeah, sin will do that to you. That's how you know somebody's a sinner, the freckles. I know you meant sun. I know it was a typo. I just thought it was funny. You need magnesium. Okay, so everyone's suddenly an expert on what minerals I'm missing out on all of a sudden. Is the sun affecting CERN or is CERN affecting the sun? Now, that's a good question. I don't know. Is CERN still doing its thing? I didn't even know that was even a thing anymore. I guess it is quietly in the shadows, opening up portals to hell. Yeah, won't surprise me. I have to have sunglasses now. It's just too bright, says Space Mike. Yeah, you know, I'm the same. I have really dark blackout ones as well. Like, I can't drive without them. And I really struggle with the sun. Like, I get really ill with migraines a lot whenever the sun's out. I do. I thought the same thing, Paul. So some people agree with me, some people don't. You're going to teach me the secret because I burn every summer. So do I normally, but it's odd. I just haven't. Like, and it's not like me. I should have burned more for the amount I was in the sun, and I knew it. I was out so much. I was like, I'm going to burn so much. I can feel it. You know, if my skin's burning now, I can feel it hurting, you know. And I realized when I got, like, the next day, it's like, I've got nothing. Why did my skin hurt so much? You know, there's nothing there. It's odd. It's not right. I usually go lobster red as well. I'm going to do one of these live streams one day soon, and I'm going to just look so sunburned, and you're all going to laugh at me and have a good laugh about it. You know, honestly, it's going to happen. The sun feels different on my skin too. Paul, do you think or have you considered that the sun is the lake of fire that hell, death, etc. get thrown into in the end? I have considered that. I don't know how much else I can say. I've heard that theory before. It's an interesting one, and I'm definitely going to keep it as a possibility. Blue eyes are tough to be in the sun. My eyes water a lot in the sun. Yeah, well, I've got very blue eyes, yeah. So maybe that's something to do with it. I can do without shades in the sun, but I need glasses to drive and see writing, so I wear my shades, yeah. CERN's everywhere. They call them biomedical colliders now. One in Kentucky, another in Sydney, Australia. Oh, interesting. Biomedical colliders. That's an odd shift. Like, it hurts and burns, but then no sunburn after the fact. That's weird. Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening. It's weird. It's odd. Like, I just don't look like I've not caught any sun anywhere, but I was out in it a lot recently. Like, I'm worried about it. It's like, oh no, I'm in the sun, I've got no shade, I'm kind of stuck here, nothing I can do about it, like, I'm going to burn, and nothing happened. You didn't burn because the sun is 92 miles away, and that's far. I guess so. I don't think so. I don't know what's going on. Like, it's a change from the norm for me. We need to get blackout curtains for the summer because during the month of June and July, it doesn't get dark here up until 11 p.m. That happens to us in England too. It starts getting dark about 10:30 during the peak. We do have blackout blinds in the bedroom, just not downstairs, but we don't need them downstairs, you know. Anyone else get sun sneezes? Photosensitivity is a real thing, yeah. People sneeze when it's too sunny sometimes. I've heard of that. Yeah, so there's my talk on sun flares, guys. Not an exciting one, I know, just a bit of a, more of a, what do you guys think, you know? More of a, don't give in to the fear and the panic about that nonsense. They're just distracting us from whatever they're really doing. That's true. It's an enclosed system. It's not vast, infinite space. I don't care what anyone says. It's a lie. So when you see those articles, don't give into any of that fear or nonsense. As someone who watched that for years and really got into the fear aspect of it, it's a doom loop. It's not real. It's an illusion. It's only really in your head. Okay. Those sun flares, they're going to hit us and it'll pass and nothing will happen. There are always going to be auroras. It's a perfectly natural phenomena. That's how Earth's energies flow. And I think the sunspot thing is just a convenient way of explaining the flow of that energy. And then probably just making it up themselves because they know the cycle, so they know when it's going to hit, the flares are going to flare, so they make this animation to make it seem like that's what's going on. But I think it's all smoke and mirrors, okay? Don't buy it, don't worry. I'm Welsh, Irish, German. I did yard work the other day. My skin got bright red, but didn't get sore. It went away. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It's odd. It's odd. Like, my skin's not behaving like it normally does in the sun. It's hard to get worked up or care about anything most media say, says Steve. Exactly. If you just turn it off, no fear. Like, you're done with fear programming. It's done, it's over. But people live by it. They wake up first thing in the morning and read the headlines or listen to what they have to say, and they are scared, you know. And I get my news from like Telegram, so it's always with like a sarcastic conspiracy theorist twist, and I like that, you know, because it takes the edge off. But a lot of people just watching that on a daily basis is the first thing they pay attention to, is like the daily download. And they are living locked into a fake story, a matrix. And the best thing I ever did was turn off that TV, to be honest. The best thing I ever did. I subscribe to both Suspicious Observers and Dutch Synths, and both to me seems to be doomsday purveyors at the end of the day. While good intentioned, nothing tangible ever happens. Exactly. So you agree with me. There we go. I'm glad someone agrees. Anyway, guys, I'm going to have to end the show there. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed the little teaser trailer for the new presentation coming on Saturday. I think hopefully Saturday for the new channel, Understanding Creativity. I'll play it out for you guys again now so you can get another look at it before we finish up. Like I said, I'm sorry I'm not going as long as usual. I'm starting very late today because I've been doing a lot of work for the other channel. But it was good just to catch up with you guys, have a bit of a back and forth. Thanks for being here. God bless you all as always. But what I'll do, I will just play this video out to end the show before playing out my usual show. No fear, guys, when it comes to these sunflare things. I guess I'm just checking in to say that as well, because I just know what this type of stuff can do to people. Okay, and it's just don't worry about it. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
I think one of the big myths of art is that it's about imagination. Forget imagination, it's about observation. I think he was looking, seeing, experiencing, and in a way, recording. This idea that, oh, he just imagined these things is just such a nonsense. To the elite, to the dark cult, these are trophies. And our ignorance in admiring them is just absolutely, they're mocking.